sent him back to Pilate. And Herod and Pilate became friends with each other that very day, for before they were at enmity between themselves. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we confess that there are so many things we are unable to understand, but Thou hast shed light upon them from Thy Word. We thank You that we acknowledge Thy Word to be the life of God from heaven, as we see earthly things and distinguish them because of the sun in the heavens, so far that Thou hast given us Thy Word, and other things that are obscure to us, we understand because of the light of Thy Word. We pray that we may understand some of the things that happened to Thy Son and other men because of what we've read in the Scriptures. That is our prayer. Thou dost know our sins. You promised to be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse if we confess them. We confess our sins. And Thou art the God whose strength is made perfect in weakness. And Thou dost know the abundance of weakness in Him who speaks for Thee. And Thou dost know, O God, the great need in the hearts of those who hear, that Thy Spirit would prepare the heart to receive the Word of God. So undertake for us and bless us in this hour, we pray. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen. What do you think your chances would be of the Lord performing a miracle for you if you ask? I'll tell you. None. There's no one who ever asked the Lord Jesus to perform a miracle for whom He performed a miracle. And so if anybody came and said, Rabbi, show us a miracle, we would see a sign from Thee. The Lord never wrought a sign. But for others who did not ask for miracles, the Lord Jesus profusely granted them miracles without being asked. That's a remarkable thing, isn't it? You're liable to wonder just whether miracles are of any value, why, when the Lord spoke of them in the way He did, would He at times perform miracles? Because they have a valid place, and without our Savior performing miracles, He would not have been the Lord from heaven. Do you understand that? If our Savior had not performed miracles, He would not have been the Lord from heaven. Because just as an ambassador from another country comes and presents his credentials to those of whom they are required, then our Lord also had credentials. You'll read in the Old Testament just what the Messiah, when he came, was going to do. But this is the point, that if an ambassador comes and shows his credentials, and those who are in authority receive those credentials, then it is not necessary for others who have this authority to be shown those credentials again and again. He may not. He has been received. And so in like manner, the Lord Jesus came from heaven, and it was essential that He present His credentials, and He did. It says in Isaiah that He's going to open the eyes of the blind. He's going to release the prisoners. All of those things had to be done, or He would not have been the Messiah. But at no time did one who came to Him and said, we would see a sign of you, at no time was that person ever granted a sign. This is what He said concerning them, always said concerning them, an evil and an adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. He said it once, and He said it again. And He said, there shall no sign be given it, but the sign of Jonah the prophet. He said the same thing in different words in John chapter 2. He said that twice, in Matthew 12 and in Matthew 16. But He said it also in John chapter 2. When the Savior cleansed the temple, the authorities said, By what authority doest thou these things? Show us a sign. The Lord Jesus said, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. You say, that's the same as Matthew 12? Of course. Show us a sign. He said, there shall no sign be given save the sign of Jonah the prophet. As Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the great fish, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. And in John 2, show us a sign. He said, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. That's the sign. The sign that the Savior speaks of is one that is typically contained in the Old Testament, and then is historically and literally carried out in his own experience in life. Our Savior came from heaven. He was put to death. He was buried. The third day he rose from the dead. And the Lord Jesus said, that is the sign that is incontrovertible. And so, if you want to see a sign from the Lord Jesus, I'll tell you, you're never going to be shown a sign. For various reasons. For the simple reason that there are abundance of signs that already have been shown. And unless a man's heart is right, if the Savior showed as many signs as there were angels in heaven, your heart would never change. You say, I think it would. That's exactly what that man in hell thought. That's what he kept arguing with Abraham about in heaven. He said that he wanted someone to go from death back to the land of the living and speak to his brethren, and they would be converted if this sort of miracle were to take place. Abraham said, it would not convince. And I can show you again and again from the scripture that what Abraham said from heaven was true, though people on earth do not believe it. Because a miracle, if it is performed, will silence you, but it will not convert you. But at the same time, there are those whose attitude is correct, and those that are seeking truth, when they do not ask for a miracle, at times a miracle is given. Let me show you a skeptic in the Bible. There is Nathanael, who's told about Jesus of Nazareth, and he said, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Come and see. And when the Savior saw him, he said, behold an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. And he said, whence knowest thou me? Here is the miracle. He said, before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. He said, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. You understand? Here is a miracle of omniscience. And Nathanael did not ask for the miracle. He said, whence knowest thou me? And the Lord told him this, and he who had searched the secret place in the heart of Nathanael. Nathanael immediately knew that he was the Messiah, and he accepted him as the Messiah, and he followed him as the Messiah. But that will not always work. If it would, then every time the Lord came to a man, he would work a miracle, and then that man would be converted. But it does not happen that way. Let me show you why. The reason I read additional scriptures than that one in Luke 23 is to show you the attitude of man. I'm going to show you what happens when the Savior works a miracle if a man's heart is not like that of Nathanael. The Lord does not object to a man who wants to prove all things before he holds fast something that's good. He does not object to that in the least. And when someone like Nathanael says, how do you know me? God will grant that man proof as to how he knows him. But if your attitude is that of the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the others of whom I read, the Lord will never show you a miracle. Now, let me show you why. The Savior cleanses the temple, and they say, show us a miracle. He says, the miracle that I'm going to show you, you will have to wait for. you have to wait until I die and I'm raised from the dead. He doesn't show them any miracles. Why? For this reason. In Luke 11, the portion I read to you, the Savior performed a miracle. Now, they wanted to be convinced by a miracle, and so the Savior performed a miracle, and those whose hearts were wrong said this. That's a miracle, all right, but he did it by Beelzebub. Do you understand? And what good did that miracle do? Show us a miracle, and the Savior performs a miracle. We can set that aside. You do it by satanic power, by Beelzebub. And so what good did the miracle do? Tell me. You say, why, it did no good. Could they deny the miracle? No. They even said, by the power, they acknowledged that there was some power, but they said, sure, it's a sign from heaven, and they said, it's a sign from hell. You say, a miracle would convince the person? Did it convince them? You say, no. It only brought out what? The attitude of their heart. Now, in John chapter 6, you have a multitude, and the Savior performs a miracle, a sign. And when he does, some say, this is indeed the prophet that cometh into the world. He fed 5,000 people, and the Savior goes across the lake. He goes across by walking on the water. The disciples go over in a boat. You know the storm incident. And so the next day, the people wake up, and they say, where is he gone? And they go to all sorts of trouble to find him, and they find him. Now, would you not think that those who had heard the Lord preach, who had seen him work a miracle, had heard some people say, this is of a truth the prophet that cometh into the world, certainly they are seeking the Lord. They want truth. And so they come to the Lord and they say, Rabbi, how did you get here? We were looking for you everywhere. And the Savior said, verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me not because you saw miracles, but because you ate the loaves and were filled. Seek not for the bread that perishes, but for the bread that lasts unto everlasting life. You understand? The Lord is seeing fruit. But they are seeking the Lord. They want to hear him. The Savior said, you seek me because you ate the loaves and you were filled for base physical notice. And some of them said, we're going to make this man king. That's why he had to go to the mountain. He had to get away from them because fleshly, mundane reasons, the miracle wrought in them, why they were going to say, here is the man that can be our king. He has power and he can overthrow Rome, and he has power and he can keep us from starvation. And when such as they come to the Lord seeking him, he said, I know why you are seeking me. He said, because you ate the loaves and you were filled. You say, well then, miracles were unsuccessful in this case. Well, the Lord said they were. You understand? Now, let me show you again. Here are those who had seen a miracle. If you had seen a man with 5 loaves and 2 fishes, take them and feed all of you and 5,000 more in addition to women and children. Do you think that that would be a sign from heaven? You say, indeed it would be. These very people that had seen him and would not deny that miracle because they had eaten the loaves and the fishes. As soon as he said to them, what he did, he insulted them, told them what they actually were, and said, labor not for the meat that perishes. They said, what sign showeth us from heaven? Now, if a man can feed 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fishes, tell me, what other signs would convince such people? You say, no signs would. Of course not. And the Lord knew that. And so you say, if the world had miracles today, why, there would be more conversion. There would not be one more conversion if the world were filled with miracles. Let me ask you this. The one who stirred up Herod's heart, how many miracles did he perform? You say, it says distinctly that John the Baptist performed no miracles. That's right. But he's the one who stirred up Herod's heart. And so a man does not have to perform miracles to be a man from heaven. But the Lord Jesus had to perform miracles. But he did. He performed so many miracles that had you gone up and down Palestine in his day, you could have had it pointed out that he indeed was the miracle worker. And so understand this. Miracles have to be performed, or else the Lord Jesus is not the Messiah. But the Lord Jesus does not have to perform miracles for you to prove that he's the Messiah. This has already been done. And so for that reason, when the Lord is spoken to and asked to perform miracles, every time he was asked, he told you what you were. If you wanted to come and seek him, he told you the condition of your heart. He said, the kind of person that wants a sign is an evil and an adulterous person. And he said, you saw the signs, but they had no spiritual significance to you because you wanted more food. And so the Lord knows that some signs, as in the case of Nathanael, convinced him. The Savior told him what he had been doing under the fig tree. He understood that by the Savior's answer, and immediately he was convinced. The Savior fed 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and it meant absolutely nothing to them. And I'm going to show you the conclusive reason that a miracle will be of no value to a man whose heart and whose attitude are wrong. Do you remember the one in hell that was arguing with Abraham? If you send somebody from the dead, my brethren will be convinced to repent and not come to this place of torment. And Abraham said, no. Even though Abraham said no, God said, well, we're going to do it anyway. And here is Lazarus, and in John chapter 11, he is raised from the dead. And do you know what it says concerning those who were friends of the Pharisees and Sadducees? It said they saw Lazarus raised from the dead, and they went away and told the authorities the miracle that Jesus had performed. And it says, what are we going to do? This man performs many miracles. We've got to put him to death. And so you say a miracle is going to convert the world? It's going to do absolutely nothing of the sort unless the heart is like that of the Nathanael. Now, if there is a genuine seeking heart, the Lord can perform a miracle, and it may be one that only you and the Savior understand. What miracle is this? When the Savior says, before Philip called thee, when you were under the fig tree, I saw thee. What miracle is that? Nobody else knew what it meant, but Nathanael knew exactly what it meant. It meant that the same God of Psalm 139 was in the presence of Nathanael. It said, you know my thought. You know my sitting down, my rising up. You know my thought afar off. There is nothing hid from thee. And from those few words, Nathanael understood that he was in the presence of one who was the God of Psalm 139. That's all that it took. And others, they could see loaves and fishes multiplied to feed 5,000. They could see a man whose body had begun to decompose, raised from the dead, and they are still asleep. And so, in one sense, miracles are essential, and in another sense, they are absolutely worthless, unless you truly are seeking the Lord. And the Bible says, seek the Lord while he may be found. That's true. But God knows why you seek him. You may be like those in John 6, seeking the Lord, going to the great expenditure of energy to find the Lord. The Lord said, you just want something to eat from him. The Lord knows your ulterior motive. And it's the same way with Christians. They talk about, I want consecration. I want to love the Lord. If God would only work in my life. The Lord looks at you and he says, if I only work in your life, there is abundance of fruit. So remember that. Miracles, yes, they're essential. Now let me show you just why they are essential and how God deals with one whose heart is sincerely troubled and he needs reassurance. John the Baptist prepared for 30 years and then he comes upon the scene and just for a brief period of time, a matter of weeks, testifies as to the coming of the Messiah. And now he's cast into prison. And he hears of all the things that are taking place, and he sends his disciples to ask the Savior. And when they come and ask, are you he that cometh, or look we for another? Why didn't the Lord say, an evil and an adulterous heart seeks after proof as to whether I am the Messiah? The Savior did not deal with him that way at all. He said, go tell John the things which you see and hear, He spoke about the deaf, the lame, the blind, the lepers, and he said, and the poor have the gospel preached unto them. You understand? Here is one whose heart was sincerely concerned. He was shaken, and the Lord did not give him a miracle. But he said, go tell him the things which you see and hear. And he said, in that very hour, miracles were performed. Do you see the difference? And so all of you who say, I would become a Christian if God would show me a miracle, I doubt that. Because when a man talks that way, he's the kind that Savior says, you are an adulterous kind. You are an evil kind. I'm not going to show you a miracle. But if the heart is like unto one of John the Baptist, then miracles will be displayed. Why? John the Baptist is he who is the forerunner, the announcer of Christ, and the miracles have to take place. And so he sends back to John the Baptist the credentials that were his according to the prophecies of the Old Testament. And notice, it was nothing that John saw. It was something that John heard. And that is what we have today. Now, if you ask me, would I like to see a miracle? Yes. Wouldn't you? You say, I certainly would. Well, let me ask you this. Would you believe Jesus were any more God if you saw a miracle today? Would you believe any more that there was a heaven if you saw a miracle? And then God help you if it does. Let me explain to you that in the case of Herod, because Herod was among those of that evil and adulterous generation, and Herod hoped for the longest kind of time to see a miracle. He wants to be entertained. He wants to be told secret things about the future. Now, I know in the Old Testament the prophets foretold things that were going to come, and the prophets enabled the kings to overcome enemies. The prophet told them just where their enemies were going to be when the attack took place. Or tell me these things. And not only that, but show me a miracle. The Lord Jesus did not speak one word to Herod. Now, because of that, Herod has this thought concerning Christ and miracles, since he will not perform miracles for me, since he will not tell me the things that I ask him, he cannot. He is an imposter, and he is no possessor of supernatural power. Isn't that logical? After all, I am a ruler. Here am I, and I've demanded of him to perform a miracle, and I've demanded of him to answer certain questions for me. And if he will not do it for me, it can only mean one thing, that he is an imposter, and he has no supernatural power. Now, I want you to follow that logic. Isn't that good reasoning? Tell me, how many of you have ever seen a miracle? How many of you have ever had Jesus to answer your questions as he did the disciples on the Mount of Olives? When shall these things be? I've never had it. And so for that reason, since he hasn't shown me a miracle, and since he hasn't answered my question, Jesus is an imposter, and he has no supernatural power. And that's the way that the world reasons. And it's the way that the world is going to continue to have to reason, because the Lord is not going to deal with it at all. Understand this, that concerning miracles, they were done, but they were never done for one like Herod or the Sadducees or Pharisees who demanded miracles because they would do no good. And because of that, then Herod comes to the conclusion that this one who is supposed to be the Messiah is not the Messiah, and this one who is supposed to do all of these mighty powers, why, he's done none of these mighty powers, and that is the reasoning of the world as a whole today. They tell you about the man of Nazareth in that book, that he was just a religious Jew, and all of the miracles and the deity associated with him, it was given later on. None of these things happened. The disciples made it up after he had died. It's just mythology, and it's grown and grown, and there is nothing to it. This is what the Bible wants you to understand, that same reasoning has been foreseen by Peter. And it says, understand this, that in the last days, mockers shall come with mockery, saying, where is the promise of his coming? For from the days that the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. We've never seen anything. Do you see? Everything goes on just the same. And Peter says, this they willingly are ignorant of. And he doesn't show them a miracle, but he tells them about a miracle, the miracle of creation. And yet, they never were demonstrated that creation. But he simply points back to something that did take place and something that is going to take place, and that all the miracles are going to be different. Now, all of you who say, well, I would be converted if God were to show me a miracle, the only thing I'm going to do is to tell you of the miracles that have been contained in the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. I'm going to tell you about those, and that's all you're going to hear. And you can continue to say, nature continues as it was from the beginning. There is no entrance into it. There is no alteration of the laws of science. There is no such thing as the miraculous. And that's good logic. That's good logic. That is good logic, unless God speaks to your heart as he did to those who were not in the time of miracles. Let me tell you this, because in Hebrews 11 it says, by faith, Noah, being warned concerning things not as yet seen, prepared an ark. Now think of this. God says, build an ark. And you never find it is rained in the Bible. And here is this man who labors 50, 100, 150 years, say. He labors building that ark. And no rain falls, no sign of a flood. But it had been told him that a flood was going to come. By faith, Noah prepared an ark. Things not seen. But God had told him. And he acted on what God had said. Now, notice. He labored all those years by faith. And then, at the time appointed of God, the heavens opened, and that rain came down. But it was too late for the others who would not come into the ark. Understand that? And so, that is how I am. God has spoken to me, and what I have to do is to labor my whole life long. Now, in the case of Noah, it was a little different. But he labored year after year after year, and only after all those years did signs of the promise of God take place. Now, it's a little different for me. Unless something else happens, I have labored my whole life long, and I've never seen, spiritually speaking, a drop of rain. But at the end of my life, I'm going to see the heavens open, and rain is going to fall. Here is Thomas. Thomas said, I will not believe unless I see and feel. And he only had to wait a week. Noah had to wait over 100 years. Thomas had to wait a week. And now, what about us? The Lord Jesus said, Thomas, you have believed because you've seen. He said, blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. And this, in Hebrews, it speaks about the words spoken by the Lord, being confirmed unto us by them that heard. I see. Now, Thomas saw the Lord himself. Now, those in Hebrews did not see the Lord himself, but they were spoken to and had it confirmed by those that had heard the Lord. Notice, Thomas saw the Lord himself, and then those in Hebrews did not see the Lord, but they saw those that had seen the Lord. And you and I, I've never seen the Lord, but I've heard the testimony of those who have seen the Lord, and I have believed. Thomas, yes. Those of whom God speaks in Hebrews chapter 2, I have heard the testimony of them, and God says, blessed are they that have not seen, and yet have believed. You want to see a miracle? You'll never see a miracle until Christ comes back from heaven, and then it will be too late. But you trust him as your Savior. By faith as Noah, you act on the word of God, and the time will come when the heavens will open, and not rain will come forth. The Lord Jesus will come forth. Be in time. Time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, we are thankful that thou dost ever remind us that we are creatures, we are dust, thou art God. We do not make up your timetable. We do not tell you when you must perform a miracle, but you do things according to your own will, things as it pleases thee. And our Father, we are thankful that by thy Spirit, all that is sufficient to convince us that you Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, has been presented to us. We are thankful that the Word of God is powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, and that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to every man as he needs it. And Father, we have not seen Christ, and yet, whom having not seen, we love, in whom though now we see him not, yet believing, we rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, and we are waiting for that day as Noah waited, as Thomas waited. We are waiting for that day when Christ shall descend from heaven with a shout, and all of these things that we have accepted by faith shall give way to the sight, to reality. So come, Lord Jesus, and all of us who are prepared, we give thee thanks. And may the rest of us who are here, who are not prepared, may they be in time. Speak to their hearts, we pray. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen. Amen.